Welcome to the Paint to Power podcast, where we have engaging, informed and interesting conversations on topics including women's health, the menstrual cycle, chronic pain, trauma, the nervous system, relationships and feminism. I'm Lisa Dion. I'm a women's health coach, facilitator and educator, supporting you on your journey of healing, recovery and moving into a place of personal power in your body and in your life. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 76 of the From Pain to Power podcast. My name is Lisa Dion and you are so welcome if you have come to this podcast recently and you have joined this community. You are so welcome to join us. We are here to help you on your healing and recovery journey, to help guide you and inform you and inspire you. And I'm on this journey with you because, as a lot of you know, I too have had a long history with chronic pain and various different types of ways of suffering that we do in our bodies as women. And yeah, I'm right here with you on the path to healing and recovery. And yeah, I just wanted to kind of do a little check-in with you to see how you're doing. We are coming up to Christmas. It's currently mid-November as I record this episode. And so yeah, we are coming up to the end of the year. And I think this topic today, inspiration for loving on yourself, really what it's coming from is just me taking a minute to pause, you know, as I sit down to reflect on this conversation today and the end of the year coming up and Christmas or the holiday season and whatever way you celebrate that for yourself and with your loved ones. It's coming up and it can be quite an intense time of year as well, even though here in the Northern Hemisphere we are dropping into the depths of winter. And so I wanted to just have a little chat with you today about loving on yourself. Maybe I can pass on some inspiration that I have for myself, that I've gotten from my own teachers and my own mentors. I feel like to love yourself and to be self-compassionate, you know, it can be very difficult, but it can be really, really helpful when we are listening regularly to inspiring podcasts and content creators and that we have those messages in our ears regularly. I know I'm one of those people who loves an inspirational podcast while I'm cooking or cleaning or yeah, in the morning as I'm waking up. It's just nice to have these messages in our homes and in our minds regularly. So before we get into that, I just want to remind you again that in January 2024, we are launching my first group coaching program. Well, it's actually not my first. I've done these before, but it's the first of this particular course. It's called Women and Pain. We start in January 2024. It is a 6-week long program. It is especially for people who have been around the block with physical, psychological, emotional pain and are struggling to find answers. Particularly for people who can link it to their menstrual cycle, we are going to be talking about women's health, we are going to be talking about the nervous system, we are going to be talking about pain science, we are going to be talking about recovery, we are going to be talking about the role of the unconscious, we're going to be talking about emotions and the emotional body and the pain body. And this course is, I really do think it is one of a kind because we are working at the intersection of hormones, the endocrine system, the nervous system, pain science, neuroplasticity in our brain and psychology. And at the end of this program, you are going to have so much more clarity around what is happening in your body. You'll have a very clear understanding around how pain is created and what to do about it. And you are not going to leave with a massive list of to-dos or things you should be doing or are doing wrong. In fact, we are going to be unlearning all of that and we are going to be focusing on really a small set of tools that you are going to implement regularly that will help you and support your nervous system and your pain and your brain to help you rewire more safety and more healing into your brain and into your nervous system. So that is what we're going to be focusing on in this course. And it's going to be a very supportive, nourishing container, small group of women, not more than 15, 16 women. Also, people who don't identify as women are more than welcome to come, but who had a menstrual cycle, who've been socialized as women, you are more than welcome to join us as well. And yeah, I'm really, really excited about this program. So if you're interested, do head on over to the link in the show notes and have a read. Yeah, and you can send me an email if you have any questions as well. I will make sure to put my email address in the show notes too. So I'm going to do a little check-in for myself, because it's actually rare that I kind of do that publicly. I'm quite private in terms of my own personal life and personal process. But I do think it's helpful for me as a facilitator, a teacher, a content creator in this space to be transparent and open about what's going on for me. And yeah, it's a good day. It's a good day for me today. I'm pretty much mid-cycle now at this point in my menstrual cycle. I recently enough moved house to a smaller town in Ireland. So I moved, we're now in November, I moved house last March, April time. And that was quite a stressful time, I will say. I was very busy in work. My partner and I moved in together as well. So we were navigating all of that. And then we went traveling over the summer. And while I did enjoy that, I also realized that, you know, traveling, not holidays as such, but if you're going longer than a week, it can be a little stressful too. So that was a lot too. So to be honest, I'm really, really happy to be kind of settled. There's not a lot going on. I'm not moving house. Nothing major is happening in my life. There's no drama and, well, normal stuff, but there's nothing like, there's no huge shifts or transitions or changes right now, thank God. Touch wood, in fact. And I'm very happy with that. I'm very content. I am settling in slowly but nicely into my hometown. I recently joined a local gym, which is a women's only gym. And the woman who runs that gym, her name is Natasha, and she's an incredible human who runs that gym. And it's such a lovely, supportive space. It's a small little gym where there's like maximum 8 to 10 people in the class. There's no mirrors. There's fun music. And she tells you what to do. And we have the chats while we're there. And it's just really, really, really nice. So I have been going to that gym. I've also joined a really nice yoga class. And yeah, it's just nice to be able to, you know, choose to spend some of my disposable income on that kind of thing. Like, I'm not in the city anymore. I'm not going out as much. I'm not going out for lunches and food and that kind of thing. So yeah, it's nice. And I've also learned about myself that for me, it's, I don't know, it's just a lot of, I find it hard to motivate myself to do regular physical activity, except for walks, obviously, and I do a bit at home, but it's just nice to have something in the diary that's paid for in advance and that you're going to a group class and you're joining other people. And being the professional that I am, understanding the nervous system, I know the science behind that. It's like the co-regulation. It's, you know, really helps with your nervous system to be in a community and helps with motivation and accountability. So I'm really, really grateful for that. And I've really been enjoying that. And I was in the class this morning before starting my day. And then another news, I have also been doing a lot of my own deeper nervous system healing. I really try to practice what I preach. So I've been doing, you know, that and exploring that a bit more for myself. And I have to say, getting amazing results for myself personally and my own nervous system and my own relationship with pain. So that's been really fun. And well, not fun, actually, it's been hard, but it's been fun to see the results. And it's nice to see, like, when you put this kind of work into yourself, it is nice to see the results, you know, and I'm really, really glad about that too. And then lastly, what I'll say as well is that I, as I am an avid, as a loyal podcast listener, I was listening to a business podcast that I quite like recently enough. This lady, Kelly Deals, or she was on someone else's podcast, and I was listening to her speaking about just how she manages her business in with her feminist values that she has. And she shared on that podcast that in every year in November, she carves out time in her diary, 5 days to plan her year ahead. And I kind of like really, I sat back in my chair as I was listening to her sharing about that. And I just thought to myself, that is really inspiring to me to hear a woman who, you know, this woman, she is a very busy person who has a very thriving and probably very stressful business. She's doing a lot of, I think she works with associates and she has a lot of clients and groups, and she has several children as well. And I know that she's busy, and I, well, at least that's what I imagine. And being a business owner myself, there's a lot of work behind the scenes outside of the practice. So I really, really get that. And it can be quite hard and stressful, especially if your brain isn't wired to understand accounts and numbers and projections and, you know, all these other things you have to think about as a business owner. And anyway, the reason I'm sharing that is because I want to share inspiration with you all today about the season ahead and, you know, loving ourselves and maybe even the year ahead and kind of thinking now ahead already into January. And what was really inspiring to me was that for me, I would rarely carve out like 5 whole days in my diary just for something like planning. And usually my planning kind of happens like in between, like little slots here and there. But she was saying that it really allows her to drop into visioning and dreaming and feeling and connecting to herself. And I'm not going to say that everyone has to take 5 days, and I probably won't take 5 days, but the message was, give yourself the time you need and make sure you get that. And the only way that she makes sure that she does get the time that she needs is by literally carving it in her diary. So she doesn't take client calls that week. She doesn't, you know, she's not running courses, or else there's someone else behind the scenes helping her, and she's able to give herself the time that she needs to plan into the year ahead to support her. And it's similar to like meal planning. Like when you take the time on the weekend or on a Friday to do that for the week ahead, or if you take the time to prepare your list before going into the supermarket, you are set up really well. You're set up so well. You have clarity in your head. You're less distracted by things that might be distracting. You know, it's a lot easier then to make decisions because you have a plan. And it doesn't have to be anything complicated or fancy. It's just, you know, it can be very, very simple, clear plan, or even an outline of a plan. And so that really inspired me, because my business is, it can be quite busy at times. And in order for me to deliver the best that I can for my clients, which is my absolute priority, I have to be somewhat clear on what's, you know, the infrastructure and the systems I use and the processes that I have, and make sure that I'm not over capacity myself either. So planning is something that I'm going to think about a lot more. And I just want to say thank you to Kelly Deals for sharing that on the podcast that she shared, because it really, really, really inspired me. And I'm going to take that ahead into December. I actually have carved out some time early December to do that. And it's funny, because then some people were asking me for meetings on those days, and I was like, no, I'm busy. I'm busy. I'm full. So that was kind of fun to do that. So that's the first piece of inspiration I want to pass over to you, my dear listeners and dear community, who are on this journey of, you know, love, self-love and compassion and healing and recovery and understanding what's going on in our bodies after, you know, experiencing pain or anxiety or suffering in some way, is to ask yourself, how can I give myself the time and the space for planning? Because planning is the space that we drop into to get ready to be ready. As one of my mentors says, he says, you need time and space to get ready to be ready. So the same goes for planning your December social plans, your Christmas plans, your New Year's plans. You know, if you're planning a holiday, you take time to research that. And the same goes for our well-being. Like, are there certain things you can plan for? Can you, like, if you have a menstrual cycle and you're suffering with that and your cycle happens to be regular, can you get a little bit better at planning in your diary before the week that you suffer? So for people who have PMDD, the week before that, or for people who have pain with menstruation or endometriosis, can you plan a few days prior to menstruation and carve that into your diary so that you know it's there, even if it's just a couple of hours on a weekend? I think that can be really, 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 really helpful, and it can really help regulate the nervous system, because one of the things when we're in a lot of fight flight energy, as I've talked about a lot on this show, our nervous system loves organization. Okay, so in whatever way that looks for you. So if you can in some way organize yourself, whether that's lists or a plan or calendar events or taking things off your list or cleaning your space or whatever, that can be really, really helpful for your nervous system, and therefore really supports and aids our healing and recovery journey. Okay, so that's a nice segue into the topic of today's episode, which is this, you know, inspiration for loving on yourself. And I was actually inspired by my new friend, Aoife McCormack, who I had on the episode a couple of weeks ago, whose content I've also been watching. And she talks about loving on yourself and how that's such an important part of the mind-body connection and the mind-body system. And I just think that, you know, we hear that message like self-love and self-care so much, and very often we can go into criticism because we don't know how to do that, or worry because we've never done that before, or worry because we don't feel it. And it can be really hard to feel and connect with the self-love thing. But I know that, you know, people sharing their stories and reflecting on our relationship with that and getting curious about it, as opposed to having a very set expectation, this can be really, really helpful. And also, like I said at the start of this episode, just having inspirational conversations, learning a bit about the science, the brain science, the nervous system science, learning a bit about psychology, understanding how when we are in a state of chronic fight or flight, how that does and can contribute to pain and suffering, and how healing our nervous system and working on and healing our relationship with ourselves is and can be a massive piece in our healing and recovery work. It's really important that we have access to regular content where, you know, we're inspired by that. So that's what this episode is all about today. So let's first start with why it can be so hard to love ourselves. Like, if it was easy, we'd all be doing it. And there's like, I mean, this is a huge topic and I feel like this could be a whole book or a whole podcast like in itself. But the way I think about it is, you know, there's so many different factors at play. Okay, so many different factors, and we'll just take one at a time. And, you know, there'll be loads of other factors that I won't even mention. But if, you know, taking the time to think about how you were raised, the kind of messaging that was in your home, whether that was overt or not overt, direct or indirect, the sort of family culture, the community culture, the school culture we were in, the country as well, the socio-cultural environment and the values of our family, our communities and our culture. That is the soup that we are raised in. And it's rare that I've seen people, well, maybe it's because of the type of work I do, who were raised in a very, very nurturing culture, society and community. And so none of this is any of our faults that we find it hard to love on ourselves. It's because we literally have inherited a very unwell message and the illness of society, which is that you're not enough, you need to be better, perfectionism, comparing ourselves, like an insane amount of fear, very toxic levels and, you know, selfish levels of consumerism, etc., massive amounts of fear. So really our whole society is living off this fight flight energy constantly, you know, and you don't really have to go very far out the door to see it everywhere, you know, or turn on the radio or turn on the news. These messages are just absolutely everywhere. So it's the soup we live in. And I do think that some people are more sensitized to these messages and the energies of the world than others for whatever reason. And so that's something else to consider. So when you step into this type of work, self-compassion, healing, recovery, compassion for ourselves, compassion for others, you know, reflecting on these things, that is a radical choice. I think it's a radical choice of activism. And it's a very, very powerful thing to do. And the reason it can be so hard is because we're going against what we learned in our family. We're going against the norm. We're going against the mainstream message. We are, you know, it is literally a new skill that you have to learn. And it's very hard because, you know, learning a new language is not easy. Learning, like if you're not good at something, it's not easy to get good at that. You know, it takes time, it takes practice, it takes patience. And in most cases, you probably won't feel like massively connected to yourself or self-love for a while. That can take years to actually feel it. Even if you're actually doing these practices, it can take a long time to actually feel these feelings of care and compassion and for those feelings to be a default. I'm very grateful that I have definitely come to a place in my life now where I can very easily access self-compassion as a default, like thought in my head. So, and I can very easily catch myself if I have self-critical thinking that isn't helpful. And I've talked about the inner critic before, and I think there's a benefit to the inner critic because it can be a really good motivator and, you know, drive and help us think about things we might not be thinking about. But if it's coming from this, like, you're not good enough, you know, you need to be better, and this self-shaming place and social internalized shame, you know, that we've received from the messages from society, it's just not good. And so, like, I am literally proof that, like, you can rewire your brain and you can get really good. It's like you're getting really good. Like I spoke about at the gym, right? My gym exercise this morning and lifting weights. I was not good at that. And I was scared lifting weights because I thought I was going to injure myself. And I thought I looked silly and I wasn't sure what to wear and what to say. And I didn't understand what the exercises were called because there's a whole language around weights and exercises. And, you know, like, I just, like, it just wasn't my world. And thankfully, I'm able able to sort of, you know, move through that with a lot of grace and compassion for myself and clumsiness and all that. And we have a laugh there. But it's the same thing with loving on yourself, self-compassion, choosing yourself, setting boundaries, etc. You know, it can be awkward and clumsy and feel really uncomfortable because it really, really can go against what we're used to. So, because I love a practical idea, right? I love like something practical that you can do, that I can do, and good examples of things. So it's now mid-November. I think it will have been Thanksgiving for those of you in the States, and for those of you who celebrate Thanksgiving just the day after this, or just before the day after this launches, or the day before this launches, I mean. So this comes out on Monday, and I think it's the weekend before that you guys had Thanksgiving, and maybe you're still on a holiday, and then we have Christmas coming up, or in the holiday season. And I was thinking about this, right? So when we are moving into holiday season, this can be a really, really triggering time for some people because we're out of routine. We might be spending time in other people's homes, family homes that we don't live in anymore. We will be around people that we don't normally spend a lot of time with. There might be, you know, more alcohol involved. We might have very likely are eating different food and different quantities of food. For a lot of people, this brings up grief and memories of those we have lost in the past. So there's a lot there. There's a lot of changes to our environment and our context in the holiday season. And linking this back to this whole idea of planning, I would really strongly encourage you to take some time to think ahead for yourself before you step into that environment where all those things are up in the air, where your literal environment and your family situation is going to be up in the air and your social life will be a little bit all over the place for the next while, and really plan ahead about how you can take care of yourself. And so very practically speaking, if you have days in your holiday season where you are around a lot of family, can you plan to have some me time? So some self-care time. You might want to plan in time where you do exercise or meditation or go for a walk or read your novel or watch a movie. And you're just, you don't have to be in connection with other people, just time where you have time to yourself. I know for myself, when I spend a lot of time around my family, as much as I love them and we do get on, I am definitely 100% triggered by all of the lists that I just gave you. And so I do have to have my walk or my me time or my sitting with meditation or reading one of my spiritual books that I like to read and just buffering that time a little bit for myself, and also having some idea of where I'm going to be in my menstrual cycle in advance is also really helpful because that will help me inform how I'm going to feel, maybe even what kind of clothes I want to wear, what kind of food I like to eat, that kind of thing. And just having those things a little bit planned ahead can be really helpful. And that little plan ahead and that intention you set for yourself is, that is loving on yourself. That is you taking care of yourself and loving on yourself one little small piece at a time. And so I've written down here as well is, why is it so important to stay connected to ourselves as a practice? And not just during the holiday season, but generally speaking, like shit happens, you know, like life happens, drama happens, difficult things happen. You know, jobs, finances, family, illness, health, all these things, they happen. But you are the constant throughout your life. So it is really important that you find ways to connect with yourself and to stay somewhat tapped in and tuned in to yourself and to your emotional well-being, your spiritual self, and build some kind of relationship with yourself that where you can start to cultivate self-compassion, self-love, self-understanding, self-forgiveness, self-kindness. And like, as I'm saying this, another reason why it can be really hard is because especially for people who have trauma, developmental trauma, who were not treated well as children or as adolescents, you know, we can internalize those feelings of we might have been a disappointment, or we might have felt like a disappointment to our parents, or, you know, maybe we felt like we weren't liked by the people around us, or we did something wrong and we can, you know, or we feel like we weren't liked by those people, and we can actually turn those feelings inside of ourselves and do that to ourselves. So there can be a little bit of inner parenting, inner child work here on this journey too, if you struggle to really, you know, do the self-care, the self-compassion, self-kindness work. we have to do this if we want to be in recovery and healing, in healing our nervous systems, is really making the choice to do that kind of work in whatever way that looks for you, practically speaking. Okay, so another visual that I like to think about is, you know, if you think about like a patio, like a garden terrace or patio, I'm not sure what the term is in your respective countries, but like if you have like tiles or wood outside in your garden where you sit and there's chairs, that patio needs, every once in a while, it needs cleaning and maintenance. Otherwise, moss can grow over the stones, you know, or like just think about a river and the stones in the river, and there's going to be moss on the stones, or, you know, moss grows on things that are not maintained, whether it's supposed to or not, this doesn't matter. But what I'm saying is that our insides, it's the same with our insides. Like if you come from a society and or a family where these teachings of self-compassion and self-kindness were not the default, then our brain is wired to be self-critical. Literally, it's like we have this wiring in our heads to default to self-criticism or self-shame, or suppress all these emotions, or be very hard on ourselves and expect a lot of ourselves. And that old training will come back if we're not regularly connected to a self-care, self-compassion practice. And so that moss will just grow back. So we just have to tend to the moss. And the reason I'm laughing is because I experience this all the time, even though I know I've just shared that, like, I do have a default of compassion and kindness. I slip right back into old ways constantly, all the time, constantly, constantly, constantly. But I know I have the tools, I have supports, I have my mentors, I have help, I know what tools work for me, etc. And I have this amazing community that I've built as well with people on the same path. And that can be really, really inspiring. And so this is about, you know, making the choice. And I do think that self-care and self-kindness and self-love and self-compassion practices, and whatever, again, like I said, whatever way that is, it doesn't have to be meditation, it doesn't have to be journaling, it can be whatever it is for you. You actually have to figure that out. That's part of your job, is to figure that out. But it is a choice, and it's a really important choice that you make, and find a way that works for you, that fits into the context of your life, that you feel comfortable and safe with, and that you enjoy doing. And one of the things that one of my mentors said to me as well, he's like, Lisa, no one is going to come knocking on the door to look after you as an adult. You know, like no one's coming on the door. No one is coming knocking on your door to do your self-love work for you, right? So remember that phrase. No one is going to come knocking on the door to do your healing work for you, okay? Unless you are a sick person in a hospital, or you're a child, or you're in care. That's a different thing, right? But this internal inside job, mind-body work that we do here, no one is going to knock on your door to do it for you. No one is going to knock on your door to fix your relationships. No one is going to knock on your door to fix your relationship with your cycle, with your money. These are things we have to take responsibility for, get help with, and find out like how we can do this for ourselves. So it can be a lot, and I would encourage you to start very slowly, very gently, and to stay connected to practices and things that you like doing, that you enjoy. Then I want to share another thing, because I have a few things on my list here in the practical list of ideas for you to take away. So this is one of the best pieces of advice I've ever gotten. And I've shared it with so many people, and I probably have shared it with you before. So I'm just going to say it again, because maybe you haven't heard this before, and it's radical. And it is that you can start your day at any time. You can start your day at any time. Okay. Now, I don't mean you can get out of bed at 3 and miss your day. Although maybe there are days you need to do that, and that's okay. I won't judge you for that, right? But what I mean by that is, if you have a shitty morning, or if you've had a shitty week, or something bad happened, or, you know, your mental health is off, or your mood is low, or you've got pain and you're feeling disappointed, or you're just not in the mood for life, okay? Or maybe you're really, really in the depths of depression and anxiety, and you're really struggling, or something happens, okay? You can literally start your day at noon, or you can start your day at 3 p.m., or you can start your day at 4, or you can start your day at 7 p.m., or even you can start your day again at midnight. And what I mean by that is that at any point in the day, you can say to yourself, I've had a crap day, but I'm going to go and put on my slippers and some cozy clothes, my dressing gown, as we say here in Ireland. I'm not sure what you say for dressing gown in your country. Put on your robe or your dressing gown, make some hot chocolate or a cup of tea, or light a candle, and you can sit with yourself for 5 minutes and just be with yourself. Or you can choose to go for a walk, or you can put on some music, or you can say to yourself, feck it, I'm having a shitty day and I'm just gonna drop expectations on myself. I'm gonna clean the kitchen and I'm gonna eat some chocolate and I'm gonna feel good now for these 10 minutes, okay? So that's just a really, really handy little mindset trick that I use quite a lot, because what can happen is if we're going through a difficult time, our brain can take hold of that and then run with it and spiral and decide that our whole week is written off or our whole day is written off, when actually it's not. And you can still have a good day, even if you're feeling sad or you're feeling angry or you're confused about something. You can still have a nice walk or watch something fun on TV or get on YouTube and watch an inspiring talk or listen to a nice meditation or listen to more of my podcasts. You can start your day at any time. And the reason I say that is because that is a very self-empowering mindset tool. And heading into the Christmas season, where we are more likely to be triggered and there can be really difficult family stuff and friend stuff going on, even though it's supposed to be a fun time, I want you to just hold that thought with you and put that in your back pocket. And, you know, that's your power. You know, that is your power. This podcast is called From Pain to Power. We are no longer victims in our lives. We are healing and figuring it out together and stepping into power and learning about our power and engaging with it and using it for ourselves and for the world around us. And then the last few bits that I wanted to just share with you in terms of my own journey with this work is just kind of like, awareness is really important. You know, like if you are on a journey of healing and you're thinking about your mindset and your thoughts and our relationship with ourselves, it can be quite daunting and quite confronting when you see like the moss that is inside, and when you do see the kinds of thoughts we have towards ourselves. Or, you know, maybe you're someone who compares a lot or worries something that isn't good enough, you know. And again, it's really, really common. You're so not alone with that. And it can be really uncomfortable when we start to shine a light on this stuff. It can be really uncomfortable. So I just want you to take it really, really gently with yourself and to not bring in the inner critic on your inner critic, but rather to bring in some higher self wisdom, higher self compassion, and just be like, I've been trained this way all my life to think this way. And I'm, you know, it's not nice to see it. And it's very hard to unsee it when we start looking at these things. So just go easy on yourself, take it gently, mind yourself, mind your mind, mind your head, mind your heart. And yeah, and that's something to just be aware of, you know, when we're looking at these things, just to be gentle with ourselves. Practically speaking, something I like to do is, I know I mentioned about catching myself, and I don't mean that like catching myself out. I mean just like gently being compassionate, being aware of any thoughts I have. And say, for example, I'm shopping and I'm trying on new clothes and I'm in one of those changing rooms where the lights are really bright, which I think all of us struggle with, right? My default is just to go into like, oh God, I hate looking in the mirror and this looks terrible on me and all these critical thoughts. But now I try to really be aware of that. And I say, pause in that moment and say to myself, I'm just going to be nice to myself while I'm trying on these jeans, or I'm just going to be nice to myself while I'm trying these clothes on. And I don't have to look too closely in the mirror and inspect everything. Right. So can we have those types of conversations with ourselves? It's a real practical thing to do. I also like to, at the moment, it's just kind of a phase I'm going through, but I am carving out time in my day to do self-compassion meditations on Insight Timer. There's a lot of really good meditations on there that I'm enjoying, and I've been doing a bit more journaling as well, so that's been nice. And then just again, practically speaking, candles are lovely this time of year, comfortable clothing, nice warm cozy drinks, hot chocolate, cinnamon tea, you know, get the fire going. It's just a time of year for a lot of self-permission, for self-care, for self-love. And to, you know, maybe think about the children in your life and, you know, kids around you or animals or pets or nature, like treating ourselves the way those beings deserve to be treated. You know, nature is a huge one. Like this day and age, look at the state of what's happening in the world and the call for change for how we treat nature. It's like, can we treat ourselves like that too? And permission and compassion and really mind ourselves. So that's it for today. I really do hope that that is inspiring for you to consider, to think about planning self-care, self-compassion, go easy on yourself. And again, like I said, you know, finding practical things and things you like doing, not things you feel like you should be doing. Because the self-help and self-development world is great and there's so much information out there, but there's no point in doing something that you are in resistance to. I want you to really think about things you enjoy and things that are easy and manageable and that feel safe for you. Yeah, that really help you to reconnect to yourself. And I'd love to hear what they are. So you can always message me on Instagram or send me an email, because I know that there's so many different things that people are doing, everything from exercise to Tai Chi, Qigong, reading, journaling, painting, art, writing, all these amazing different practices that people do. And yeah, and I'd love to hear from you. So again, if you're interested in joining our Women in Pain 6-week program, we begin in January 2023. The focus is on healing and being in a supportive environment with other people going through a chronic pain journey, particularly with the menstrual cycle or hormones or any kind of suffering. We're going to be doing deep healing work, deep process work, and you'll be getting coaching from me as well. And if anyone wants to work with me one-to-one, I do have a couple of spaces coming up in January as well. You can find the information about that in the show notes. That is particularly for people who are needing a bit more in-depth long-term support. And for people who've been in this community for a while, who have done coaching with me, who've done courses with me, who've coached with me, trained with me, you are also still welcome to join the Women in Pain online course in January, because we will be covering a lot of new ground. And, you know, I think it's good to go back to beginner's mind as well, and to go back to basics and to go back to community and to go back to our practices. You know, I've designed this course to be a container that people can journey through regularly. Like, it's not a one and done fix. It's a practice, it's a community, it's a supportive space. So if you're interested in that, you can join, you can send me an email if you have any questions at all. And that is it from me for today. I wish you a lovely, lovely rest of your week. You can also join my newsletter as well. I'll make sure the link is in the show notes if you're interested in learning more about the course and hearing more about things that I am offering. So have a lovely rest of your week, my loves, and wishing you well. Take it easy, take it gently, and do give yourself some time to plan ahead and find some ways that you can love on yourself this season, because you deserve it. Okay? Talk to you soon. Thank you for joining today's conversation. This community, these topics, and the stories I share are not possible without all of you being part of the journey. If you are interested in getting more support for your own personal process, head on over to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, to book a consultation call with me. Or you can sign up for a free course there as well. And as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. Lots of love for the week, and see you next time.